The Regulatory Commission of Alaska has requested another extension on Alaska Electric Light and Power's rate increase. The commission was to make the determination last month, but delayed it until today. The RCA has asked the utility company and the state attorney general's office if they would consent to an additional week. Both have agreed, but the final decision has not been made yet. Alaska Electric Light and Power requested a 22% permanent rate increase in May of 2010. In July of 2010, the commission granted a portion of that, 18.5%, and then began the process leading to the final decision. Commissioners could announce another extension today or the size of the permanent increase. If the permanent rate is less than the interim, the company would have to refund the difference. On Monday, the Juneau Assembly Committee of the Whole is scheduled to discuss relocating the Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Memorial to Marine Park, but will do so without a recommendation from the city's Docks and Harbors Board. When the Assembly approved a floating cruise ship berth to be built in front of the memorial, it told the Docks and Harbors Board to work with the memorial's board of directors and, if necessary, recommend a new location. The Memorial Board believes the monument should be left where it is near Taku Smokeries on the downtown waterfront, but not with a dock there. The Memorial Board is concerned with how the floating berth might impact the annual blessing of the fleet, as well as the view of the water from the memorial. If the dock is built, the Memorial Board says it should go to Marine Park. Last night, the Docks and Harbors Board considered two completely different options for making a recommendation, but couldn't pass either one and had to table the issue. Chairman Kevin Jardell argued that the Assembly directed the board to make a recommendation on a mutually acceptable location, and in his eyes, Marine Park meets that definition.
From a Docks and Harbors board member's perspective, it would be acceptable to me if they put it in Douglas. Mm-hmm. If they move it to Parks and Rec Park, it really doesn't impact me. I may have personal beliefs that it shouldn't move, but from my perspective, it's acceptable to move it outside of our bailiwick, and if there's only one that's acceptable to the Fisherman's Memorial, we wind up with only one mutually acceptable place.
Jarnell read from a lengthy letter which he proposed sending to the Assembly as the board's recommendation. While it said Docks and Harbors finds Marine Park acceptable, it also encouraged the Assembly and Memorial Board to give the current location a try with the cruise ship dock in place before ultimately deciding to move the memorial. Earlier this month, the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, by unanimous vote, passed a recommendation saying the memorial should stay where it is until a plan is developed for Marine Park. Jardell's recommendation failed to get the 5 votes it needed to pass the Docks and Harbors Board, and with 3 members absent, the vote was 4-2. Board member Eric Kiefner was one of the no votes. He offered his own recommendation that the memorial stay where it is.
For the very limited impact that this cruise ship construction would have on the memorial, it's really not worth the trauma that it would cause to all the people who are so invested in it to try and move it anywhere. Second, of course, is the cost of this, which we don't really know the cost, but it strikes me that there's no particular reason to do anything about it now. As 3 or 4 people testified tonight, we don't have to do anything now.
But Kiefner was the only board member to vote in favor of his recommendation, which failed 5-1. The issue was tabled until the board's next meeting, even though the Assembly is scheduled to discuss the matter Monday. Deputy Mayor Merrill Sanford was at last night's meeting, as well as the Assembly's Docks and Harbors liaison, Ruth Danner. Sanford says it's possible the Committee of the Whole will still make a recommendation to the full Assembly on Monday. Imagine putting some time and effort into a project that gets dropped, revised, changed, shelved, or put on the back burner, and then years later, it's finally resurrected or moves ahead. That's just what happened to local architect Paul Vokers of MRV Architects.
At a personal level, the most extreme case of that, where it happened so long ago that I'd pretty much given up any expectation of seeing it again. So it is satisfying to have it come back after this long and have it be a very sweet little building that I think everyone will be proud of.
Nearly 3 decades after it was first proposed and designed, the ceremonial groundbreaking was yesterday on the Pacific Northwest Research Station's Juneau Forestry Sciences Laboratory. Volker says it was one of his first projects that he worked on in Juneau in 1981 after grad school, but he says it will be more modest than the extensive facility proposed during the big oil days of the 80s. Ground clearing has already started for the new lab adjacent to the University of Alaska Southeast campus, overlooking Auk Lake and just down the foot and bike path from the Egan Library. The Forest Service's Paul Brewster, assistant director of the research station and head of the Geno Lab, says funding for the $8.3 million facility was finally approved in the last year and a half.
My understanding is that this project finally arose, at least amongst all of the possible options for the research part of the Forest Service, this project rose to the top of the priority list. How that ultimately happened, I don't know. But, you know, they have a national priority list for facilities. And this being a research facility, it's sort of looked at separate from other administrative facilities like the Juneau Ranger District office out there.
Brewster believed its location next to UAS and the potential benefits of students getting involved with forest research may have helped bump it up on that priority list.
You know, our scientists and staff engage with students here. We have them as interns. You know, it depends on what their, you know, academic interest is. Is it a senior year project or something, or is it a student that might be working with one of the faculty members as a cooperator with one of our scientists? So I'd characterize it as opportunistic. I think those opportunities will only grow with us being literally here.
UAS Chancellor John Pugh says the 7 acres next to the campus was originally reserved by the federal government 40 years ago for the lab.
And the biggest thing for us is this enables us to strengthen our partnership with the Forest Service and have our faculty and students work with the lab scientists to really do projects in the Juneau area, but throughout all of Southeast and the Tongass National Forest.
About 20 Forest Service employees are expected to move into the facility when it opens, scheduled for the latter half of next year. Paul Volkers, the architect, says the 11,000-square-foot, two-story laboratory will feature regional woods like yellow cedar for the siding. It will also be certified as LEED Silver, partway up the ladder of leadership in environmental and energy design. There are only a few Geno buildings that are LEED certified for high energy efficiency and healthy materials that are free of formaldehyde or don't give off gases.
A lot of good research that shows that's really best practice for the health and productivity of the people that use the building. Also an emphasis on daylight, a lot of daylight and sort of bright, gracious spaces in the building.
Walker says the extra initial outlay for such features has been averaging only about 3%, usually recaptured within about 5 years.
So it's very economically advantageous, and that's why you've seen the whole market switch that way. There's much greater availability of sustainable products now and formaldehyde-free products, for instance, than you saw just a few years ago.
Those 20 research station lab members are currently working out of the old NOAA Fish Laboratory in Auk Bay. Previously, they worked out of lease facilities on Sherwood Lane, but an audit revealed health and safety problems and poorly functioning lab space.